Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
A couple of years ago, Reverend Alley gave a sermon on the elevator pitch of Unitarian Universalism. That moment when someone asks you, "What is Unitarian Universalism?" And then you have to try and briefly explain what being Unitarian Universalist means to you. Her sermon stuck with me because I have encountered this on many occasions. Often, my strategy is to talk about the eight principles. If you've ever tried to explain the principles of Unitarian Universalism to someone, you get the same question. That first principle stumps a lot of people. The inherent worth and dignity of every being? But what about insert terrible historical figure here? On its face, this is the principle that is hardest to grapple with. They put it first for a reason. And sometimes when asked this question, it can be hard to answer. There are people in the history and in the world now that commit reprehensible atrocities, and I hold no love for them in my heart. If I'm talking to that person who asked about the first principle, they say, "See, you don't believe in the goodness of every being." I've spent a lot of time grappling with that. My faith is ever evolving, and I move through life with the principles in the back of my mind. It's a lifelong journey of Unitarian Universalism. I think that I have found many ways to refute that argument, but in the face of the world today, I want to talk about one. I don't have to think you are a good person to believe that you should be treated with the same rights and dignities as every other person in this world. This guiding principle is more important than ever in this current age. I'd argue that it is not only a belief, but a moral imperative to act upon. There is an ongoing attack on the basic human rights of people in this country, beyond this country. People's lives and livelihoods are under constant and increasing threat. If I wanted to talk about everything going on in this world, this sermon would last all day. I have no desire to do that to you, especially in this ridiculously hot sanctuary. I think that first principle is most relevant to the concept of due process. The 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution states, "Nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws." I've spent a lot of my college career thinking about prisons and the legal rights of individual persons. Now I'm a paralegal. I'm the child of a lawyer. It's only natural that I would end up here, taking this opportunity to talk about what's happening in our country. I've heard a lot about this amendment and its language recently, as I imagine you have too. The Constitution makes a distinction between citizen and person throughout its text, but here, the word that's used is person. If you are a person who resides in this country, you have equal protection of the laws, and you are entitled to due process of the law. This, to me, is akin to the first principle of Unitarian Universalism. We believe in the worth and dignity of every being, that they are endowed with certain unalienable rights and should be treated as such. A lot of the rhetoric promulgated by those in power right now presents the worst version of a people. They take individual examples and apply them to groups as a whole, saying, "We need to protect ourselves from this entire group." The White House itself pushes this idea that immigrants commit vile acts that harm innocent Americans and that their presence in and of itself is illegal. This language belligerently pushes the idea that a person can be illegal and that all illegal immigrants are a burden upon Americans and aren't actively causing harm. I object. A recent study published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences Journal found that U.S. citizens commit violent crimes and drug-related crimes at a significantly higher rate than immigrants, and at an even higher rate than undocumented immigrants. Moreover, immigrants, documented and undocumented alike, contribute to our economy and pay taxes that support public programs. But even if the rhetoric of the White House was true, it does not justify treating entire classes of people unfairly and contrary to the laws of this country, especially without due process. Since Unitarians don't have our own sacred text, I want to pull wisdom from a few other religions. I know, very UU of me. The Torah tells us, "The strangers who sojourn with you shall be to you as the natives among you, and you shall love them as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." In the New Testament, Jesus tells us to welcome the stranger, "For what you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me." The Quran tells us that we should do good to those in need, neighbors who are near, neighbors who are strangers, the companion by your side, the wayfarer you might meet. We Unitarians believe in the worth and dignity of every being, and whatever faith you ascribe you to calls you to treat people with basic human respect. That golden rule seems to have disappeared. It is incredibly disheartening for me to watch our country turn away from what I know to be true, that every being has inherent worth and dignity. I feel like even the rights of people born in this country, as well as those residing here, are being taken away before my eyes. If you think that this doesn't affect you or the people you know and love, I encourage you to open your eyes. I have a friend who believed in the rhetoric of the Trump campaign and supported deporting immigrants who were criminals, not realizing that the Trump administration believes that all immigrants are criminals and are talking about her and her family. Her family immigrated from Haiti through legal means. She works two jobs and attends school to be a nurse. She's the first in her family to graduate from college. I worry about the harsh reality that could disrupt her life as it has for so many. Another friend of mine has family members and loved ones who came here from Haiti to this country under legal temporary protected status. They are working, attending school, and living here in this city. But recently, her family members received a letter strongly recommending that they leave this country before they are forcibly removed. They came here to escape the violence of their home country with the hope of better opportunities that was offered by our country, and it's being torn away from them. Witnessing all of this happen goes against what I know to be good and right, in part because I was raised to believe in that first principle. It is tremendously difficult to reckon with what I see happening in this country. I want to share a message with you from Movement Generation, a grassroots organization that is focused on bringing about ecological justice. Remember that rights are not given and rights cannot be taken away. Rights are inherent and exercised. Rights are never taken away, they are only ever violated. Rights also only need to be articulated when they are violated or threatened with violence. Until then, they are understood and customary. You only need to articulate the right to breathe when it is being infringed upon. When your neighbor's rights are being taken away, when your rights are being taken away, we are called to action. We are called to answer the call of love. I will take it even further and argue that we are called to fight on the side of love. Stand up for your neighbors, call your representatives, volunteer with community organizations, contribute to causes you believe in. Cultivate spaces of joy and resistance. This frequently requires some sacrifice or some risk. Being a bystander and complaining won't change anything. How do you want to commit? Our first principle, and of course all of them, are as important now as they always have been. It is not enough to believe in the inherent worth and dignity of every being. We have to fight for that reality. My friends, we keep us safe. It is community and connection that will further our resistance. I challenge us to create the world we say we believe in. Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart in namaste. I bow to the divine in you. Prayer of the Farm Worker Struggle by Cesar Chavez. Show me the suffering of the most miserable, so I will know my people's plight. Free me to pray for others, for you are present in every person. Help me take responsibility for my own life, so that I can be free at last. Grant me courage to serve others, for in service there is true life. Give me honesty and patience, so that the Spirit will be alive among us. Let the Spirit flourish and grow, so that we will never tire of the struggle. Let us remember those who have died for justice, for they have given us life. Help us love even those who hate us, so we can change the world. Amen. Let us keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. Amen.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.